Kaufman, and I am president of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. Welcome to the table. Communion education will take place today and next Sunday following the service, with the celebration to be held on March 31st. If you feel your child is ready to participate in communion education, please join us today for the class. Join us Wednesday evenings in Lent at 7:30 p.m. in the fellowship room for a five-week series on Luther's Small Catechism. Our course uses videos with topics led by current Lutheran teachers, preachers, and bishops, and introduces us to the themes in the catechism. All are welcome. Sunday school students, their families, and LYO members are invited to a bowling event next Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. at Airport Lanes. Cost is $5 per person and $15 per family. Please call the church office to make your reservation. Join the Racial Justice Task Force in viewing the movie Green Book this Thursday at 6 p.m. in the fellowship room. A light dinner will be provided. Please call the church office to make your reservation. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you, and God bless.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home again and again. We lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future. where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death to life. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God,
let us pray together. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all peoples into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may rejoice in the life we share in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the young people to come forward for some time with Pastor Brenda.
One day I'm going to figure out what's so cool about that corner. Yes. Well, good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I have a question for you. What is a promise? Angelo. That if a friend keeps a promise, they'll do it. So if they say they're going to do something and they promise to do it, that they'll do it. Well, that sounds like a pretty good definition. Does anybody have anything different? Does a promise mean something different to you, or did Angelo sum it up pretty well? Yeah. It's an oath. What is an oath? A promise. So what are some of the things that you promise to do? Angelo. Be good at video games. Who do you make that promise to? Yourself? Okay, those are good promises to have. Promises to yourself. What else? What else do you promise to do, Erica? To what? Promises to your family to, like, behave and do what your parents say, things like that. What else? Yeah. You promise to share. That's a good promise. I have to work on that one a little bit. What else? Do you make promises to your friends? Sometimes. Do your friends make promises to you? No. Ever? Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What happens if someone breaks a promise? Angela, what happens if you break that promise to yourself?
They might be mad at you.
Do you get mad if you're not good at playing your video games? Yeah? Yeah? People might get mad. So what happens? What else happens? What are you willing to give for a promise? Your trust? So what if I told you God makes promises to us? Angelo? He never breaks them? How does God show that God won't break a promise? He what? What's one way that God shows us that God won't break promises? Yeah. Because he loves us? Because he helps people, Ellie? Because in the past he's made promises and didn't break them. What if I told you that Jesus was sent as a sign of a promise and that God promises to love us so much that God would die for us? Are you willing to die for a promise? Probably not. I'll admit, I probably am not going to die for a promise. I mean, it's got to be a pretty hefty price. Like, really? But God loves us so much that God's willing to die for us. And God sends Jesus to do that. Now, this is going to sound a little weird, but I think it's cool that God sent God's self to die for us. But I think that's pretty cool, right? That God loves us so much that God is willing to give of God's self. Well, God lives forever. God's eternal. We'll get into that later. But that God loves us so much that God was willing to suffer and be human. Being human is hard. Yeah? But God promises to love us, even through all the hard stuff. And if you don't think being human is hard, give it a few years. It'll get a little hard. But God loves us so much that God promised to love us forever and made that possible through Jesus. So what's one thing that we can do this week to thank God for that? Can you think of something? Yeah.
To behave,
to be nice to somebody, to listen to your parents and your guardians and your teachers at school. Erica? Yeah, behave in school and listen, yeah.
And promise to Sarah Ann.
And promise to share. God loves us so we can love others, right?
Yes.
Excellent. So, what I'm hearing from you is that if I send you up to Sunday school, you're going to promise to behave up there. Yeah. Let's pray. Okay. Let's pray. Ready? Good and gracious God, thank you for giving us this day, for letting us come together to learn about you and just spend some time with our friends. Thank you for the promise to love us unconditionally forever. Thank you for sending Jesus to know what it's like to be human and to suffer alongside of us in the good times and the bad times. Thank you for your love. And all these things we ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, guys, behave. You promised.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The first reading for the second Sunday in Lent is recorded in Genesis, the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." But the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." The word of the Lord.
Whom then shall I fear?
The second reading for today is recorded in Philippians, the third and fourth chapters. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved, the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. I ask that you pray first with me this morning. Good and gracious God, thank you for waking us up once again and giving us this day, for gathering us around your word and meal. Remind us of your promises that we were created to be in relationship with you. Open our hearts to both our hopes and hurts, that we might know your ever-presence and unconditional love. And we ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't know who turned the light on, but thanks, I can see now. So the mantra I find myself living by is that God can handle us, can handle me, being mad at God. That God can handle not just my praise and prayers of celebration and thanks, but that God can also handle and welcomes my anger, my laments, my complaints, my hurts, and my blame. These are all parts of living in relationship with one another, and I have to believe that God, if God is creator of all, that God knew these things and still created us to be in relationship. And this morning, we have a glimpse into just what this looks like between Abram and God. In Genesis 12, God says to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is some promise. Some might even call it a covenant between God and Abram. According to the almighty Google, a covenant has four definitions. The first is an agreement, plain and simple. The second takes on more legal terms as a contract drawn up by deed. The third is a clause in a contract. And the fourth, and probably the most important to our message today, is that a covenant is an agreement which brings about the relationship of commitment between God and God's people. The Jewish faith is based on the biblical covenants made with Abraham, with Moses, and with David. An agreement that brings about the relationship of commitment between God and God's people. This is not humanity-driven, us trying to lean in closer to God. But this is passive on our part. This is all God's doing. God is making a covenant with us. So Abram does as God says. Abram and Sarai go, they journey to the land, and they wait for a child. Time passes, they go to Egypt, they come back, still no child. They become prosperous, no child. Lot leaves, is captured and rescued, and Abram and Sarah still have no child. And after all these things, God speaks again. Do not be afraid. We have learned from those in whom God speaks to, do not be afraid, that some good news is coming. We can imagine that God is about to tell something really good to Abram. God follows up with telling Abram that I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. The Hebrew is actually better translated as what you will receive will be very great. And it seems that Abram is not happy about this. And who wouldn't be? Abram is mad, is disappointed, he's let down. God has made a promise with Abram. Abram did just what God asked, and what? Now God comes to flaunt it? Oh, please. Abram laments to God, "Oh, Lord God, what shall you give me?" Abram knows the promise God made with him, and Abram is looking inside himself into the deepest hurts and hopes of his body. Abram wants what God has promised, this child, this great nation, the continuation of creation. Abram accuses God and reminds God of the divine promise made earlier in Genesis. You have given me no seed. Lent is a time for reflection and a reorienting of our lives toward God. One of the ways we do this is through the deepening of our relationship with God through prayer, through talking, through conversation around our own deepest hope and hurts, just like Abram did. Rolf Jacobson writes, "God does not desire followers who are meek and mild, compliant and quiet, at least not in relationship to God. God wants sufferers who fight back. God invites us to own and be in touch with the deepest hurts and the brightest hopes in our souls." Jacobson writes of three things that happen when we lament, or we complain to God. The first is that we make our problems into God's problems. To tell God about our deepest hurts and our unmet hopes is to implicate God in those hurts and hopes. It is rhetorically to align God's desires with ours and to make our problems God's problems. Second, when we complain, we cry out to God in the belief that God can and perhaps even will respond to our cries, to our wants, to our desires. God has the power and the ability to respond. To complain to God is to have faith that God is faithful both to the creation and to the divine promises. In spite of present circumstances in which it certainly appears and feels from our perspective that God is not being effectively and faithfully present. And third, in context of matters about which God has made a promise, to complain to God is to remind God of those as yet unmet promises. In his lament, Abram was implying that God had not kept God's promises, that God had not yet proven faithful. It seems that we have plenty to lament right about now. I know that there are things that I bring to God in my laments daily. And while I don't know about your personal lives, my guess is you could probably find a thing or two to bring to God to complain about as well. But when we live in a world that seems to be ravished by people who seem to invite themselves in order to create terror and chaos, it seems that we have nothing to do but to lament. There are times when I feel that God has not been effectively and faithfully present, times when people are set apart on the sole basis of what God has created them to be. Whether it is because they are female, they are gay, they are transgender, Muslim, migrant, black, brown, people in our world today, the world in which God spoke into being, are being treated as if they are the other, as if they are not worthy of our own love and care, or of God's love and care. And it seems that we have turned a blind eye on this happening, that we have remained quiet and compliant, that we turn to mere thoughts and prayers when something happens like it did this past week in Christchurch, New Zealand, where 50 people have died because of one lone gunman who decided to open fire on two houses of worship during a midday prayer. We cry out to God, "How long, O Lord?" And God's response is an expanded promise, a new covenant. God calls Abram out to gaze up at the heavens, to count the stars if he is able, and declares that so shall his offspring be. As many as the descendants, as there are stars and as there are galaxies, God our Creator. The Creator responded by telling Abram to look up, to gaze outside of himself to the heavens and to all that God created. God doesn't mind being implicated in our problems. In fact, God welcomes it. Our problems are God's problems. Prayer is in part a way of speaking to God that implicates God in our promises. And in prayer, we remind God that God has promised to be faithful to all of the divine promises. And this story this morning tells us that God doesn't mind being held accountable to these divine promises. This is what God does. And then God makes a breathtaking promise to Abram, a commitment that is so absolute that the Lord ritually commits to die rather than to forsake that promise. The Lord tells Abram to bring forth his sacrifice, a heifer of 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon, to cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. And when the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. God passed between the cleaved goat, the sheep, the ram, and the dead birds. God was saying to Abram, "I promise to give you both descendants and the land. I pledge my very life, the life of God, as a surety of this promise. And if I fail to keep this promise, let me be slain just as the goat, the sheep, and the ram were slain." This is what it means to enter into covenant with another. God does this for Abram. God enters into covenant with Abram and with us. God hears our cries. God knows our pain and is willing to die for us so that we might know a world without hurt, a world where we no longer have to ask how long, a world where people are treated just as God created, where people can come in and worship God. The gospel in its most narrow and precise sense is an unconditional promise that requires the death of God. And this is just what God did. In order to be faithful to creation, to Abraham and Sarah's descendants, and to the promises of David, the Creator ultimately took on flesh, walked down the lonely path, and died. Died so that we might have life. Amen.
Thank you.
proclaimers of God's promise, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 11 in your worship bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for people in need, and for all of creation. Compassionate God, call your people to stand firm as citizens of heaven. As we are humbled by your wondrous love, nurture such mercy in our hearts and ministries. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Display your faithfulness to creation in the changing of the seasons. Orchestrate the great song of praise that comes from rivers, birds, mountains, livestock, and wind. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Drown out the terror in the world with acts of loving kindness and generosity. Release political leaders from pride and fear to act justly and to serve citizens. Comfort the people of Christ Church, New Zealand, and all who suffer from violence. And we pray especially this morning for all men and women serving in the armed forces and for their families. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Rush to answer those who cry out to you in time of trial. Give shelter to your vulnerable children and cover them in the comfort of your mothering wings. We pray for all those that we now name out loud and for those that we name from the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Grant solace to people who long to be parents but have faced difficulty in bearing or adopting children. Build life-giving parent and child relationships for the sake of all. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Protect all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster, Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Be with our siblings, with our Abrahamic cousins, for all mosques in Buffalo and around the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially Aiden and Abriella, hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Build up your holy community of saints through the works of bishops and missionaries. Spread your word through your people for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers, and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Let us pray together. Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Compassionate God, as Jesus called disciples to follow him, bless those who go forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, or imprisoned. May these gifts be signs of our love and prayers, that through the sharing of the body and blood of Christ, all may know your grace and healing revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God who fills the creation with abundance, Christ who spreads his arms in forgiveness, the Holy Spirit who draws us ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen.
Go in peace, remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.